Man, it's a good feeling here in Toronto. The Maple Leafs are red hot. There's a chance the Raptors play tomorrow night, which is a positive considering where we were over the weekend. And George Springer is officially documented playing a game as a member of the Toronto Blue Jays. That happened earlier today. Keegan Mathieson is in attendance. He drove all the way down to Dunedin to cover the team for MLB.com, and he will join us later in the hour.
We have to ask him, is he just do it on his own, or how's he down there? How's he the only one?
Well, it's a good question. I mean, with quarantine and COVID and all that, I guess clearly that will factor in. There's a couple of media members down there, but independent media, not a lot. And Keegan is one of the very few to be down there. And I guess he's accepting that maybe when he comes back, if he's coming back, he'll take the 2-week quarantine. Although I don't know how that applies driving over the border. Like, I know there's, if you fly in right now, you got to do the whole quarantine hotel and take
the PCR test and all of that. Yeah.
I don't think that applies when you drive
over. We're not going to bitch about the vaccines anymore, Hayes, but I don't think that baseball team's coming back here anytime soon.
No, they're not. And we'll ask them that. Like, are you staying in Dunedin for the next 3 months? Or are you just down there for spring training and then coming home? I'm not sure. Right. We'll get that answer. But if he's down there for the long haul, then I guess he doesn't have to worry about it. But, yeah, I think they're going to start in Dunedin. They've already announced that. Then they're going to go to Buffalo. They want to get home. I think there's a chance they're home by July. I do. I think there's a chance that by July you bring them up here. The States will be in a very different spot. The idea of teams coming up here and potentially – you know, spreading COVID, I don't think that's going to be as big of a concern.
But there'll be no
fans.
I don't think they'll be
like
back.
Talking about canceling outdoor events all summer.
Go ahead, O.
No, that's what I've been reading. It's like outdoor events, they got to go through so much. I want to see them here. I'd love to go to, who the hell even knows if we can go to a baseball game. I just think it's unlikely they're going to be up here before August, man.
I think you're also looking at moneymakers too, right? You've got to, like, the rest of the league will be going and generating income because there'll be fans in the stands, and then they're going to say, okay, you can go north, but, you know, the rules are different there because of the protocols or because of where they are in their vaccine rollout. So I would argue they'll stay south for the economics because you can have fans, you know, on a smaller capacity there. You're not going to be able to fill a building just based on the, you know, the fan base not being as massive.
Right.
Where they play
the stadium not being as big. In Dunedin,
exactly.
There's only so many people you can get in. And in Buffalo, there's only so many people. I would like to believe by July or August, you can have people in an open roof stadium. You know, like, I'd like to believe that. I think that's more than sensible and more than reasonable. I don't know what's going to happen with the federal government, provincial, municipal. I'm not sure with where things stand right now. But I think by July or August, you're telling me you can't put 10,000 people in the dome if the roof is open. You know, maybe don't let people in if it's raining and the roof is closed. Make that call. But if the roof is open and you've got air filtration in there, by July or August, we can't go to a ball game. I think that would be really disappointing
and a really
bad sign of how we're handling things. But we'll cross that bridge when we come to it. Keegan Mathieson later in the hour. Confirm or deny, we've been doing this as a standalone. This is week 3 already, man. Time is moving. We're moving in the right direction. Are you guys ready to fire up some confirm or deny?
Love the intro. Play it.
I can neither confirm or deny that this is in fact a segment.
Boston trades Andrew Raycroft to Toronto in exchange for the rights to Tuukka Rask.
It's been my honor and a privilege to serve as the general manager of the Toronto Maple Leafs Hockey Club.
It's time for confirm or deny.
Do you regret giving all those gentlemen the no trades or no movement clauses?
I can neither confirm or deny that.
I can't confirm or deny.
Somebody told me, Hazy, that they could have picked up Ray. I don't know if there's any truth, but it was a hockey person that said there was an opportunity the Leafs might have been able to pick up Andrew Raycroft, who is my buddy, in a waiver-type situation.
Yep. That's 100% a fact.
But Ferg had to go and
had
said
to give
no.
up Tuukka Rask.
Yeah.
A first-round pick who has been there for 15 years and is one of the great goalies in franchise history, maybe number one. It's either him or Thomas, Jerry Cheevers.
So we're not interested in the waiver wire, Ferg.
Yep. because Tim Thomas was there. They had another guy, I can't remember who it was, who they were pretty high on, and they were going to move on from Raycroft, by all accounts. That is what history would indicate.
Might have been John Graham or somebody.
Yeah, maybe Johnny Graham.
They were moving on, and instead, the old Tuukka Rask, I cannot confirm or deny that I actually made that deal.
I can neither confirm or deny that.
I don't know why you guys live that all the time. Just let it go.
Because Rask is still playing, and he's still a really good goalie. He's better than the goalie the Leafs currently have. You could make that argument. Still today, he's better.
Yeah, you're right. Okay.
It was a brutal trade. That's why.
Yeah,
until they win a cup or go to a cup final, those demons are always going to be around.
Okay.
Confirm or Deny is brought to you by Don Valley North Lexus. Enjoy winter with great offers at North Valley North or Don Valley North Lexus.
Start again.
Should I start this whole thing over?
Yes. Sorry, I jammed
you. To be fair to them. Well, I try to get it in there a few times, and we keep
moving
in the wrong direction. Confirm or Deny is brought to you by Don Valley North Lexus. Enjoy winter with great offers at Don Valley North Lexus. Visit DonValleyNorthLexus.com. for details. Here we go. Confirm or deny. A statement will be made. We go around the table. Do we confirm or do we deny? You guys ready?
Go.
Gotcha.
Confirm or deny. It is more likely the Maple Leafs win the division by 10 or more points than it is a team catching them in the standings at all at any point this season.
I'm going to confirm that. I think they are going to win by 10 or more points. So is that a confirm?
Yeah. That's
that would confirm.
Effectively be a confirm.
And I think what we've seen the last 2 days, I think if it went south, you'd be like, okay, Edmonton's right there. They can catch them, which ultimately, hey, Hayes, you never know what they're going to do. But the way they're playing right now, I mean, God knows they could go on a tear after they leave Edmonton, and where is that going to leave them? I am totally going to confirm that.
I'm going to deny it, but the only reason being two things. I still think Winnipeg is a really good team, and they're going to give them all they can handle. And secondly is, even if the Leafs win, it may not be 10. So I still think they could win, but it may not be 10. That's the thing. Winnipeg has two games in hand. So that would put you at 5 behind if they win their games in hand.
With
and then they're
a lot of
head
games
to,
against each
head
other.
Head to head. So I'm just saying, I believe, and this is positive Tuesday, I believe they can win the division. I'm just disagreeing on the 10, so that's why I'm disagreeing.
Yeah, see, I would look at it. You got two options here. They either win by 10 or more, or another team catches them. At this point, I think it's more likely they win by 10 or more. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure they will. I wouldn't put money on that. But I don't see them slowing down. They've added the buffer. Yes, they play these teams a lot, but who's to say they don't beat them? Like, they play Winnipeg, what, 9 more times? What if they go 6-3? It's over at that point. So I'm going to confirm it. They've got an 8-point buffer as it currently stands, and they're playing really well. You know, and what they've done the past couple of nights without Matthews, without Freddie, if they're healthy, Wayne Simmons returns, maybe a trade at the deadline. Ask me again in 2 weeks, but as of right now, I feel pretty confident with the way things are playing out. Confirm or deny, if Austin Matthews misses 5 or more games in this shortened season, it will take him out of the Hart Trophy race.
I'm denying
5 or more moving forward, like starting right now.
Total.
Sure. Yeah. Go with 5 or more the rest of the way.
I will say that, because what happens is, all that happens is Patrick Kane starts scoring more goals, and people's attention, their attention span just goes elsewhere. So it goes to Patrick Kane, it goes to Huberto, it goes around the league, and I think in a 56 game season. And we saw how quickly things can slip away with what happened with Russ in Seattle last year, where it was a slam dunk that this guy was going to be the MVP. And 2 weeks, man, and that was partly because of his own play, because he didn't play very well. But him being the MVP honestly went into a cloud of smoke.
It evaporated. It evaporated into
having no shot in probably, I'm going to say, a three-week span, Hayes. Would you say that's fair?
Yeah, more or less middle of the season.
Three weeks span, it was like he was not even a contestant anymore, not even eligible. So I'm going to say 5 more games he misses, he's not going to win the Hart Trophy.
So that would be a total of a minimum of 8 games missed, because he's missed 3, correct, this year?
Yep.
So, yeah, I think it would shift to Mitch Marner, honestly. Like I think what happens, I mean, what Dreisaitl did last year, there was a 6-game stretch where McDavid was, hurt or sick. I can't even remember. I think he was nicked up. And Dreisaitl kept going. and his point production, and he carried that team. Mitch Marner, I think what happens if Austin Matthews is out for another stretch, if it's five in a row, if it's a game here or there, I still think Austin Matthews will be front and center. If it's five in a row where he, you know, other guys catch up to him on goals and Mitch Marner continues with the points, I think what will happen is we'll shift to Mitch and focusing to him and Patrick Kane.
I confirm it too. 5%, five games is like 10% of the season. I mean, it's too much. And it's not like he was running away with the race. We had the debate a week ago. He was right there with a few other players. There's a bunch of good players. And Patrick Kane keeps rolling. And you know McDavid and Drysdale will. You mentioned Marner, Huberdeau. Yep. You know, MacKinnon, I think, is still going to come alive. And if he has an unbelievable final 30 games, Mark Stone is all of a sudden in the conversation and should be. So, it's too short of a season. It's too much of a dog race. And it sounds as if he'll play tomorrow night. Obviously, he's going to play because he feels comfortable and he wants to play. But I don't doubt for a minute it's in the back of his mind that he's got to keep going. He's got to keep playing and producing because it's a big opportunity for him. I mean, there's a very, very short – very short list in the history of the game where you have an opportunity at being up for a heart.
Especially with what's at Edmonton, man, that 97. He's going to dominate the league.
And in Colorado. But McKinnon's not going anywhere for the next 10 years.
You're right, but here's my only caveat to that. I want 0% on the chance that can be, his particular whatever can be re-injured. Like, I don't want that something like this. And if you're a Leafs fan, you don't want this to be nagging the rest of the year.
Right.
Where if he goes in a little stretch where he doesn't score for three or four games and people are like, oh, what's wrong with Austin Matthews? Well, he's not shooting as much or as hard. Well, it could be that nagging wrist injury. That's not what you want. I want him back at 100% and, you know, feeling good about his game.
I'm with you, and I'm sure that is the talking point. But he's going to play again at some point. It's either tonight, tomorrow, Saturday. It's not like they're going to shut him down for a month. It doesn't feel like that type of injury. So I think if maybe the play should be start in Vancouver or we'll see you Saturday night, I wouldn't be shocked if he said, I want to get back a game or two early so he doesn't miss more time. Confirm or deny, James Harden should get MVP votes this season.
I'm going to deny it. I'm going to deny it, Hayes. I just think on a team with those two other players.
Plus, regardless, what happened with Houston. Like, you got to consider that in the whole season, don't you?
You think voters, how he got there, are going to take that into consideration?
That's not fair
to the player. That's not fair to the player, dude. What are you talking about?
How is it not fair? It's his life. He was the one that quit on the team and demanded out.
Then just don't vote him for him, period, then. You can't say, I don't like the way a guy got to an organization, and I'm going to hold that against him for his play.
I would if I was a voter.
Okay, that's why you don't vote, man. I'm sorry. That's a ridiculous take.
Okay.
You can't do that.
But you are looking at the whole package.
That's what exactly. You don't like the way a guy got to an organization, so you're just going to say, I would hold it against them?
Well, it's a one-year award. It's not the rest of time. It's not the rest of time, but it's the 2021 season MVP. Don't you have to consider everything? I mean, the guy, what he's doing in Brooklyn right now is off the charts, and Durant's hurt. Kyrie's out. Like, he's putting up numbers that are unbelievable. And they're winning games, and they've become rock stars really since he showed up. So, listen, the way he's playing, give the man the love.
Give him the flowers.
He gets the love. What I'm saying is I do think you have to consider the first chapter of the season when you're talking about the MVP.
Him running around in the fat suit with the light blue fat suit on in Houston?
Your MVP.
You saw how important it's going to be. Just like Taylor Hall with the New Jersey Devils coming down the stretch, how many key plays that guy made. If Harden keeps doing it in the clutch, and he's in a massive market right now, and all they're going to be doing on SportsCenter down there is talking about him on the lead, he is going to get attention for it. And everyone, as they should, forget about the old dog fat suit in Houston.
Is it not a lock that LeBron's getting it?
I don't know if it's a lock. I think Giannis is out. Giannis clearly is not winning 3 years in a row.
As good as LeBron is and as popular as it is, Hayes, don't you find that people somehow like to sniff around him and go somewhere else? For some reason, it's just so easy to pick LeBron for them. And it's a lot like hockey. We talked about it in Toronto. It's like maybe there's somebody else besides LeBron that we got to pick.
Yeah, and that's where Harden may factor in. Joel Embiid is getting a ton of love. Jokic is getting a ton of love.
It's
a race this year.
I'm denying it just because I didn't like his antics at the start of the year.
There you go. There's a former pro athlete with a sensible
mentality.
I
didn't know this was the Quebec Pee Wee tournament. That's all. Next one.
Yeah, I deny it as well. And there's other guys that are playing really well, too. You know, Embiid's
that's
been
what
unreal.
It is. I think it's LeBron's to win anyways.
Could be. And now with Davis out, if he keeps playing the minutes he's playing, the numbers he's playing, he'll have a compelling case. You know that. Confirm or deny, Carey Price will start at least 25 of the final 36 games for the Habs this season.
I'm denying that.
Ooh.
That the schedule's too condensed. Like you're seeing, and I even if Carey Price gets his game together, which I'm expecting him to do, I still think Jake Allen's going to get a lot of minutes off of him.
Isn't there a chance, Jamie, though, for him to get cooking and rolling? Maybe he doesn't know it or think it. He needs to play a little bit more.
Sure, I'm not going to disagree with that comment. Oh, it's a great comment. But what I'm saying is, if in a world where they're trying to manage, you know, their goaltenders manage their schedule, wouldn't it be nice to have? We've seen it. You know, Jack Campbell goes in and throws up a shutout. You know, if you have kind of a two-headed monster, and that's what it is. Like Jake Allen is not a schlub. He's not a backup. This guy was a starter in the league for many years. He is a backup in Montreal, but I could see him getting minutes off of Carey and it being a real healthy situation there. Like kind of and Carey can be your guy, but it doesn't mean that you can't go to the other guy if you're playing three games in four nights. If you even do that formula, like it's almost close to Allen getting 12 games right there.
Right. Yeah. You know, I'm going to deny it because I'm not as convinced Price is going to get the job done. It's, you know, I think by the end of the year, you got to put your chips in the middle that it will happen. But I honestly think if he struggles tonight, Allen's going in. Like, I think Ducharme is making the right play tonight. Go with Price. He's your guy. But you can't keep going back to him if he struggles. Like, there's got to be a line where you say Allen's going to play, and not forever. But let's say Allen goes in and he wins a couple of games in a row. He's probably going to pull the Mike Smith and play the third game and then maybe the fourth.
Well, you got to
play. I could see that.
You got to win games. This is a sprint. It's not a marathon. I go with guys who are delivering. And it's a little different here in Toronto. I saw some people, I don't know how you guys feel, some people saying, well, you know, Hutchinson deserves more and Campbell. No. When Frederik Andersen is healthy, he's going back in the net. And Jack Campbell's going to get minutes off of Freddie when he needs nights off. But it's nice to have a guy like Campbell that can give you minutes. Take Campbell, and I add even more in Montreal because I think Jake Allen is a better goalie than Campbell overall. You know, and that's why it's nice to have that tandem.
Right. So. Okay. Oh, did you give an answer on that?
Oh, I got to give a number on Carey Price.
No, you're not giving a number. It's confirmed.
It's a confirm. Yeah, mine's confirmed. You guys were going back and forth there, but I definitely am confirmed because I think if they're going to do anything and get to the spot where they were at the beginning of the year, I think they need him to play that amount of games, Brian.
Yeah. Yeah, no, listen, that's
I'm a full confirm.
I like it. That's a committed confirm. That was a confirm just in the chamber waiting to shoot.
Well, dude, you guys are going – you try to make me look stupid. You guys are going back and forth.
I didn't hear you say anything. I just wanted to include you. It wasn't about stupidity. It's inclusiveness. That's how we roll on this show.
I rambled.
We're all in. Confirm or deny, the NFL will make playing on Christmas Day an annual event starting this season.
100% confirm. They looked at some numbers and they said, we are super horny about this and we do not care about any other sports because there's a new sheriff in town on Christmas and it's Roger Goodell. So watch out. It's 100% confirmed.
It's confirmed. And you know what? I thought about it more last night after we had the chat with Windhorst. And Brian Windhorst is an NBA guy. Even he was laughing. He's like, this is not good for the NBA. Like,
They're going to double down too. They're going to start throwing up a doubleheader on Christmas Eve, and they might do a three-pack on Christmas Day.
Yeah, they're going to own it. Because they're selling the rights again, and all these networks want it. And I thought more about it last night, the idea that they'd skip Tuesdays and Wednesdays, and I'm thinking that actually won't happen, is what they'll do is they'll rejig the sched where the week ends on the Tuesday, or the week ends on the Wednesday, or begins on the Wednesday, whichever way you want to look at it. They will jig the schedule because it'll be late enough in the season where they can do that. And, yeah, you might be playing on 5 days rest, 4 days rest, but they're going to do it to make sure that they're playing on those dates.
And it's one of those things I have respect about Americans. Like, Americans will be like, bar tonight, Tuesday, football game, any interest? Yeah,
Christmas?
Let's do that. Let's do
going,
that. Let's,
yeah, going.
Going. See
like
you there.
It'll be a packed house. Like, it'll
of
be a
course,
packed house.
And getting crushed and loving life.
Yeah,
and they'll suck it up and go to work the next day and they don't care.
Christmas Eve, they'll be out tailgating, getting jacked up, and the next day is Christmas.
Grandma, I don't care about your present. I'm getting goon with my friends.
Yeah,
sorry.
That's my plan tonight. It's a confirm. You noodles?
It's a confirm.
It has
it's locked in because it just there's just too many factors, and it's a moneymaker, and the NFL's a giant machine.
They're looking for – they did $20 million for Vikings New Orleans. $20 million on Christmas Day. The NBA was averaging $4 million. Five times the viewership.
Vikings New Orleans?
Yeah, exactly. Not New York against L.A. Vikings New Orleans. Although it's irrelevant.
Get massive Rams, Giants.
Get Mahomes playing. Get Mahomes playing Aaron Rodgers on Christmas Day. They'll do $35 million. It'll be outrageous.
Right.
Confirm or deny, Dustin Johnson will win another major before Jordan Spieth wins another tournament.
I am 100% going to confirm that. Ooh. I think DJ is just too – his game is too good right now. Even the times where it feels like he was garbage, he finishes top 10. And it's just a matter of time before he gets back on track. But the concern is, Hayes, like, when is the money train going to wear off of this guy? It's like these guys go on tears, and even if it's DJ, they slow down and they kind of disappear for 6 months, maybe 4 months. And they almost don't, like, who can return to the form that he's been in? It's almost like Tiger Woods golf he's been playing. So that worries me a little bit, but I do think he'll win. It wouldn't
Spieth
shock me if he won the Masters.
Though.
Dude, we
sniffing.
Saw what happens. His nostrils seize up and they close on Sundays.
Yeah, they do. He becomes a mouth breather on Sundays.
Yes.
But listen.
He has a clothespin stuck on his nostrils on Sundays.
Yeah, there's not a lot of sniffing. But it's just playing the odds. You know, like DJ, I'm going to go with Spieth winning before DJ wins another major. Like DJ, he's got two now in his arsenal, right? Like he's already a Hall of Fame player. He's a top 20 player all time.
I'll bet you 500. You want to bet 500?
No, I prefer not.
That's when I know you don't. You're not.
I don't fully believe it, but it's
not. I know that. Why are you saying it? That's what this segment's
about. Because 500 takes it to a completely different level.
Exactly.
You know, I mean, we'll have a chat. I'll talk.
I know you don't believe that Spieth is going to win a tournament before DJ wins a
match. I don't feel great about Spieth winning a tournament again. Period. What I'm saying is DJ. There's four of them every year, as we know, and the best players are there, chasing it. Brooks Koepka is back. He's back. I like
and
him
in
at the Masters.
A month and a half, he's going back to a place he won a major at in November.
He's not going back-to-back.
Personally, I'm betting
you
on
like DJ.
Yeah.
What are odds you give me that he goes back-to-back at Augusta National?
Well, we'll see what they are on the board.
We'll chat.
Don't you worry, Kevin Sutherland. We'll have conversations.
You're Sutherland with the towel.
Well, then that means I'm a winner on tour. You're Weirdsy on 18. Yeah. Splashing it. All over the place.
Ted Potter Jr., Weirzy, J-Mac.
Final one, confirm or deny, based on my Twitter account earlier today, apple pie is an overrated dessert option.
No way, dude. There's a way, though. You got to do the crust, and there's a way to add, like, spice. What's the not
like
a spice.
Crumble? Are you talking apple crumble?
Not a crumble. Just some cinnamon areas where it's not just a straight apple pie. With dry crust, you can dial in an apple pie, and still you add a mound of vanilla ice cream.
Yeah, it
is gorgeous.
There are lunatics that put cheese, a slice of cheese on that, which is absolutely disgusting.
It's outrageous. It's an outrageous maneuver.
It is. My dad swears by it, his whole family.
I know he does.
All of them.
It's disgusting.
All of them.
Get it.
It's disgusting. How do you put cheese on it? Then you're going to put vanilla ice cream on top of like a slice of cheddar cheese on a pie?
I say this. If you're going to go ahead and put cheese on it, throw some hot peppers and some pickles on it.
Oh, you might as well make it a sandwich.
Make it a hamburger.
Exactly.
Put some bun. Put it on a bun. It's a hamburger.
Make it a meat pie. There you go.
Exactly.
No, it's not for me.
I'm not a big apple pie. It's overrated.
Yeah, I'm not a big apple pie guy. I do like the ice cream idea. I just like eating the crust of the pie. I don't like the apples to get too soggy and
me
gross.
Me too. Yeah, I'm not a big apple guy anyway. Right. It's just not a go-to for me. Yeah. So I will confirm that. Confirm or Deny was brought to you by Don Valley North Lexus. Lease a 2021 RX350 from just $278 biweekly. Visit DonValleyNorthLexus.com for all of the details. Best Bets brought to you by ProLine later in the hour. We've got a Raptors update. We'll tell you about that. And Keegan Mathison will join us from MLB.com on the debut of George Springer earlier today. Austin Martin making his debut over the past couple of days as well. Lots to get into with Keegan. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 2. All right, so Bobby Webster will be speaking to the media in the next 15 to 20 minutes, but there's an update. It sounds as if the Raptors and the Pistons will play tomorrow night. Siakam is still out. Van Vliet, Ananobi, Flynn, and McCaw are all out with health and safety protocols in place. They've all been ruled out. And
who the hell's playing?
Well, I guess based on that, unless something changes, you've got Lowry, Powell, Baines, Davis, Thomas, Bembry, Johnson. You know, like, it's not ideal, clearly. With Siakam, Van Vliet, and Ananobi are out. Those are three of your five starters and three of your money players that are going to play a ton of minutes and be guys that are going to ultimately dictate the outcome of games. But this is the NBA. This is pro sports in 2021. If you can field the team, you got to play, basically.
It's crazy, though. I'm just, you know, guys are – they're not. It's not like they're falling by the wayside. It's just, you know, in a vacuum, like in a week, you really got to be creative with your roster. You know, and that comes back to coaching and who's available to you, and you got to grind through. You're lucky that your opponent isn't as strong, technically.
Yeah,
it's the ultimate go get them, boys, and see what happens. The All-Star breaks this weekend. It's like, go get them, see what happens, and give it your best and make sure we go on a positive note here. What the hell else can you do?
Nothing else you can do.
No.
You're supposed to play. You got to play. And Lowry will probably play 43 minutes tomorrow night. And if Powell's available, Baines is available. You know, Chris Boucher is another guy I didn't name. He'll play. You know, Chris will probably play a ton of minutes tomorrow night. So you still get a lineup at home against Detroit, who's terrible, where if you can pick up this win, man, that is a more morale boost, I would think, for a team that's already moving in that direction to begin with,
man,
winning
Detroit
a bunch of ball
sucks.
Games.
They're bad.
They're so bad. Like, Dwayne Casey, man, that's our guy, but it is ugly. Like, this is year three for him, and they're worse today than they were when he first got there.
Mm-hmm.
It's a mess. George Springer made his debut today for the Jays. He was batting, you know, leadoff, which is what we'd expect. I think he was a DH today, which will not happen when the regular season kicks off. He's going to be playing in center field. But their lineup looked pretty good, 1-6. And it may have actually told us something about where Montoya was going to go with this. He had Springer hitting one, Semien hitting two, into Bichette, into Vladdy, and you move on from there, because there is some debate after you get through Springer in the one hole, what's going to happen with the rest of this lineup. And to chat about it, we're joined now by Keegan Mathison of MLB.com. He covers the Jays. He is live in Dunedin.
Love
he made
it.
The drive down to Dunedin.
Let's hear about that.
Let's get to the real stuff here, Keegan. Take us through this thought process and what provoked you to jump in your car and drive all the way down to Dunedin, Florida.
Well, let's not call it a good idea, boys. That was a journey. I'd like to thank the state troopers of various states for not having their eyes on the road at a few different times. But it was, a couple 12-hour days to get down here, and certainly a long one. But good drive. Good to be here.
Keegan, we were talking about it earlier. How long do you think you will be there, if you could kind of guess? Whether you go to Buffalo after, hopefully end up in Toronto sometime. I actually don't see that happening anytime soon. How long do you predict you'll be down there in Florida?
Well, for me, I'll be down here for most of the rest of spring training. Now, we're like everyone, we're making this up as we go along and seeing how the schedule goes. The real interesting part will be when or if they go to Buffalo. And a lot of that has to do with the minor league season, of course, and a lot of that has to do, guys, with that Toronto projection, you know. So if the Blue Jays think they can get to Toronto midsummer, well, you skip Buffalo. You just do one big move. But that's a huge if at this point, and we know there's 100 variables to go along with that. So looking like it'll be a three-step plan, hopefully some Toronto at some point this year, but that's nothing I'm going to bet on with any level of certainty because of everything that goes into that.
Well, as we've mentioned, you're one of the few Toronto media that are down in Dunedin and covering the team. It's still from afar. You can't get in there and get face-to-face maybe like you could in a standard year. But you saw it today where Charlie Montoyo, he had Springer hit one, Semien hitting two, into Bo three, Vladdy four. Could you see that being the case? I mean, was that kind of a flash into the future in terms of how this batting order could play out this upcoming season?
Yeah, that does make some sense. George Springer is the leadoff hitter. I think that's what we're going to see opening day and most days. Maybe you'll see Bo Bichette behind him. You know, have Springer as that high on base percentage guy, and then there comes Bo Bichette just swinging out of his shoes in the number two hole. I think that makes sense. Today was more about just getting Springer two at-bats and then getting him the heck out of there. It's Grapefruit League. He's DHing. No need to prolong that. So I think mission accomplished there, but yeah, George Springer at the DH, or sorry, at the leadoff spot makes a lot of sense for the Blue Jays. And through that 3-4-5-6, you'll see that mixed up a lot. Rowdy Tellez will be part of that sometimes as well. But having those guys up there, then you have Biggio to play with, another high on base guy, maybe even at the bottom of the lineup. So lots of toys for Charlie, definitely.
Not a lot to go on as far as the Springer vibe, but whenever you bring in a star player with that kind of contract, there's always the swagger. Can you talk about that at all, what it looks like, what the players around him? Can you get a sense of what the Springer vibe is like in spring training?
Yeah, it fits. You know, he's really fitting that role of a franchise player, and a lot of that is public-facing. You know, he's going to be the guy that answers for big wins, but he's also going to be the guy that we're talking to after seven losses in a row in August or something like that and saying, why is this happening? So for the Blue Jays to have that veteran voice, you know, that matters, as you guys know. And having Springer there is a fit. And one example Charlie Montoyo gave us, and this is minor, but I think you can really expand it, is that George Springer is a guy who likes to hit off of a fastball machine, not just taking slow BP, but really getting some heaters in BP. A lot of younger guys don't like that, but once they saw George Springer doing it, there's suddenly a line of young guys trying to use that machine, right? So when you see the $150 million man, that's what we all want to be. That's what these players want to be. So when he jumps, they're going to jump with him, and I think you're seeing that slowly starting to develop, you know, that leadership role.
With Keegan Mathison of MLB.com. Again, George Springer made his debut today. He was hitting in the leadoff spot, playing DH. He will play center field, we know that. It's been determined if he stays healthy, Gurriel will likely play in left. So the rotation could lead to, you know, right field. Is it Grichuk? Is it Teoscar Hernandez? Maybe other options potentially at some point. And even DH, because you mentioned Rowdy. I mean, he brings something that is somewhat of a unicorn on this team. He's a left-handed bat, and he really produced last year before he got injured. And it appears as if he's in a good spot to continue to do that this year. Hernandez was pretty open and honest recently, saying he doesn't like being a DH, but he understands it's likely going to be a reality. How do you see those positions kind of playing out and how this battle is going to work out in right field and the DH spot once the season begins?
Yeah, and that comfort with the DH spot matters. You know, from the outside looking in, DH looks easy. It's not. You're sitting on the bench, and your total time at the plate for that night might be 2 minutes. That's a lot to prepare for, and that's a lot to stay mentally sharp for. When we look at this guy's finding at-bats for Randall Grichuk, I think is the stumbling point right now, because having Hernandez in right field, is he your best defender? No, but he's probably going to hit enough for you to be distracted from that. Randall Grichuk would be that best defensive outfielder in right, but you're going to want to have Rowdy Tellez and that left-handed bat in the lineup. You're going to have days where Vladdy needs to DH or George Springer needs to DH. So this is an awkward situation for the Blue Jays. It's a good problem on one hand, yes, but you're paying Randall Grichuk in that extension like he's a starter, and that's not really there right now for the Blue Jays. These things tend to take care of themselves, but right now it's an awkward situation, and I think it's Grichuk you're trying to wedge in, because having Gurriel, Hernandez on the bench, that doesn't make sense.
With Keegan Mathison of MLB.com, you know, baseball continues to evolve, continues to change. The focus on being a utility player, you know, that's not a black cloud over a player's head. Like that's an attribute, that's a compliment, and it feels as if that is the direction we're going here with Austin Martin, where, you know, he played short predominantly in college. I think he played some third, some second base. They're giving him some reps in the outfield. He is down there. He's played. I believe he made his debut yesterday. What are you seeing out of Martin? What is the general vibe from the team in terms of his future and his timeline and how they intend on developing him.
Well, he's open to playing these positions. We know the Blue Jays love multi-position guys. And, you know, traditional baseball fans, and myself included, I love it when a guy runs out the same position every day. But that's not how it's working a lot in Major League Baseball now. So Martin started at shortstop yesterday, two errors, and then made the defensive play of the game. So it was a real prospect type of game for him. The question for him, guys, coming out of NCAA ball, was his throwing arm on the infield. Similar to what we saw with Vladimir Guerrero Jr. coming from the outfield, there's a different motion when you're on the infield or the outfield, a longer or a shorter throw. Some guys are better at one, so they'll try him out in the outfield. He's athletic enough to be in center field, certainly. But as long as they can find a spot where his glove is playing well enough, his bat is very advanced. You know, the power might not be there just yet, but his contact is fantastic, and that ceiling is definitely there. That's a real wave with he and Jordan Groshans, the number three prospect behind him, coming up. A legitimate top-tier wave of prospects coming again.
Yeah, it's a pretty good spot to be in. I wouldn't be shocked if at least one of them was peddled, though, at some point. You know, if they're going to go out there and make a big splash for an arm in the future, and I'm sure we'll see where that leads to come the trade deadline or even into next offseason. But they're off and running down there in Dunedin. You're one of the very few lucky ones to be there covering it. Good luck with it, Keegan. Really appreciate you doing this, man. We'll do it again down the road. Thank you.
You got it, guys. Talk soon.
Yep. There's Keegan Matheson of MLB.com. Jumps in the car and drives down to Dunedin.
Got to respect it.
Respect him, man. He's only going to be down there for a month. You know, he said more or less he'll be here until the end of spring training, which is a long time. I mean, people drive down to Florida to stay there for a week. But that's commitment to the job. And
dude, when I didn't fly, on Twitter. When I didn't fly, Hayes, I'd have to do something in Toronto when I lived down in South Florida. I would drive home and drive back, like doctor's appointment or something.
No, you wouldn't. You'd come up for a doctor's appointment?
Well, if it was a doctor's appointment, I'd make sure there was two or three check on a cottage to just make it a kind of a day trip, and then I would turn around and go back down there. It was insane.
Wow, man. That is
when I look back on it, no kidding. It is a real commitment.
Yeah. It is. Like that. I mean, I drive a lot now, just I'm not flying, but when I go up to Ottawa and stuff, like, I don't mind. I've always been a decent driver. Like,
That drive with old grumpy pants to your right there. We didn't say a word to each other for 4 hours.
Well, and then didn't you stop and they had to close down a building, didn't they?
Oh.
Yeah, the SWAT team came in after what this guy did somewhere around Belleville. That was after Matthews scored four. That was open. That was his first game. That was his debut.
Right.
The guy scores four. We talked about that for a bit.
You're the most talkative person. You talk for a living. We sat in a car for 8 hours total, four there, four back, not a word.
I love how it's only on me. You're not a human being responsible for
it. Dude, it's just the way it was. It's just the way it was, man.
That was a two-way street, man. Wow. That was a two-way street.
I at the end of the season, when I played New York, I used to drive home to Edmonton 45 hours.
But you're staying there for 3 months.
Yeah, exactly.
Months, right?
But it would be 3 days. Like, I would do 15 hours a day. I'd go New York to Chicago that first day.
That's the only way to do it, though, man. Like,
we
took a trip. We took a road trip. My wife and I, we had a 9-month-old with us. Our youngest was I still can't believe we did this, in a golf cart, no less. Golf cart. We drove to New York.
Oh, no way.
Yes, we drove to New York, and I drove all the way down because – I was just committed
to
driving.
New York's nothing, man. You leave at 5 in the morning.
That's nine. What is it, nine?
It's about nine, but that wasn't the story.
It's nine.
It
is. Go
ahead. It is. And we made some stops on the way down. Like, we did a couple of things that we wanted to see. We stopped for lunch, you know, did all that. We took our time. It took us probably 10 and a half or 11 to get down there. So we're in New York, and then we drive down to D.C., and we get down there, and we were down there for a week or whatever. We spent 3 days in New York, three in D.C. or whatever. And we were planning on stopping in, like, Pittsburgh or something on the way home and staying overnight. And I just said, forget it. We're driving all the way home. It was like a 14-hour drive straight.
Wow.
With a kid in the back seat in a
That's
golf cart.
That's tough.
But I just – once you get to, like, Pittsburgh, you're like, I'm 5 hours out. I'm just going home. You know, like, I don't –
Yeah, no kidding. There's something about driving, too. You could be so tired. As soon as you put your head in the pillow, it's like you had 10 coffees. You're like, I might as well get back in my car and drive.
And drive.
I've done it so many times.
Yep.
I agree.
But then guess what happens when you're on the road for an hour? You're like, I am so tired right now. I got to go back to that.
Right. I know. That's what gets scary. But you get into a groove. And
yeah. Get into the groove. You got to get into groove. You listen to good music.
Dude, I got to a point where I knew the gas station attendants. I was going to Carolina and back every year, and I was stopping at the exact same places, and it would be the same people working in there.
It's funny how that works out. Eh? Like if you're someone that drives to Carolina or Florida, it's like you stop at the exact same spot every single year.
Because you always have a full tank of gas, and it's going down at the same time. It's yep. like I'm getting
you know where
gas
you're going.
Right here.
You know where the target is that you want to hit or whatever it is.
Yep.
You know,
yeah,
it's
you're
just
right.
There's something about that kind of consistency. And, hey, listen, I'm sure Bobby Mack's probably moving in that direction down in Florida.
Oh,
I would assume
yeah.
he drove. Maybe he flew down. I don't know.
He is living the dream, that
yeah,
guy.
Yeah, he really is. Yeah. I want to know if he's golfing because he came around on golf this past year. I played with Bob this past year, and he hated golf forever. That's what he told me. And then he really gained an appreciation for it. I think he played a lot this past summer.
Well, when you move down to South Florida for retirement, you might as well take up golf, or
you
you're gonna be picking your nose all day.
Yeah, after you got to, even if you're just playing nine, just go up for nine, play an hour and a half, play nine, see you later. Split it up. Go back out in the afternoon. Like a course on like a not a retirement neighborhood, but a gated community with an
yeah,
with
it's
an
right
older...
in your backyard. Grab a cart and have it in your garage, and there's... put six beers on ice and go out and play eight holes and come
by
home
noon,
for dinner.
No one's playing. Like,
no,
I was at my mother-in-law's place. She's on a golf course. I went out in the afternoon. I went around twice in like 2.5 hours. Not one soul was out. Not one person.
But because all the blue hair, the blue hairs go in the morning.
Right,
that's what it is.
And like it's hot. It's crazy hot at like 3 p.m.
That's true. But I mean, you try and go to dinner at 5:00.
Oh,
the place is packed.
Vegas Strip.
4:30.
Fight night. It's crazy.
But by 7:00,
dead.
It is a ghost
dead.
Town.
Ghost town.
That's what I found amazing about Florida dinner. It's like young kids, 5:00 early dinner. There's lineups. It's like, what the hell's going on here? Then you realize that all these people are in bed by 8:15.
Yeah. It's just a and guess what? I get there. By the end of the week, I'm going to sleep at 9:00, and I'm up at 6:30. Out there, like you go for a walk around the community at 7:30, it is packed.
Yeah.
We'll get to our best bets brought to you by ProLine. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 2. All right, so news this hour. Sounds like the Raptors will play tomorrow night, which I did not see coming 48 hours ago. But OG Anunoby is out, Malachi Flynn, Patrick McCaw, Pascal Siakam, Fred VanVleet all out, Nick Nurse still out. And no news on how the players and coaches are feeling or how everything is going. But Bobby Webster speaking here in just a moment. Hopefully some more news by tomorrow's show, certainly by First Up with Landsberg and Koliakova, which begins at 6 a.m. tomorrow right here on TSN Radio. The Houston Rockets, their owner, just announced that they will retire James Harden's number 13.
Whoa. Know the temperature, dude.
Yeah.
People can't stand him right now, and you got to come out with that bomb.
But why, though? Why would you have to?
Dude, you don't announce that until
timing.
A month
let
before you're going to do it when
let
he's 60
breathe.
Years old.
Yeah, let him retire. Do it 10 years down the road. Yeah.
Know the room, dude.
Know the room. Yeah, the
know
dust
the
is not
room.
Even settled.
Oh.
Time now for our best bets brought to you by ProLine. I'm on the Islanders tonight at New Jersey. I'm on the over in the Buffalo Rangers game tonight, and I'm on the Habs. They're not paying a lot of money, but it feels like a must-win for Montreal. Feels like they got to get it tonight. Throw down 20. You can score 67. You can find my picks on Twitter at TSN 1050 Radio. ProLine is the sports betting game that lets you turn small wagers into big excitement. ProLine, put your knowledge on the line. Yeah, we'll be watching that one tonight. Carey Price,
yeah.
Montreal.
Starts right away.
Yeah.
It's a 7:00 start.
7:00
Ottawa,
start.
Ottawa played last night. We'll see. Be interesting to see who they go with in goal. I wonder if Joey Decord will get his second career start first this year because Matt Murray played last night.
Right.
So,
household name, Joey Decord.
Yeah.
So I think Carey Price, you guys can keep this clip right now. Carey Price will stand on his head tonight and Montreal wins big.
Okay.
Ooh.
All right. I like it.
Right. We'll
see.
Tomorrow.
We'll break it down tomorrow. The Leafs are back in action tomorrow. Evidently, the Raptors are back in action tomorrow night. So we look forward to that. We may be taking a sniff when we spin the wheel tomorrow afternoon as well.
Oh,
we're out of here.
Oh, my God.
Enjoy your evenings. We're back tomorrow at
4 p.m.
We'll sniff then.